Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. It's a fantastic day down here in Florida, raining, pretty normal for Florida, but still a blessed day. Health Masters is getting all of your orders out to you, so we thank you for your support. And other than that, how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing great. I'll be on with Hagman tonight, so you guys make sure you watch. And Austin may or may not be on, depending on his scheduling right now. But it's going to be an interesting show tonight. We're going to talk about the blood of Christ a little bit again, and we're going to talk about CERN, and we're going to talk about, you know, a lot of people say, if I could go back in time, what would I change? Would I kill Hitler? Would I kill Stalin? You know, would I stop the Civil War? Would I stop the Federal Reserve from being formed? Would I stop Titanic from being sunk? We're going to cover that today. We're going to talk about what you would do if you could change one aspect of history. And we're also going to talk about what CERN is really being used for. So it's going to be an interesting show. By the way, I hope you guys are doing great. I had an opportunity to pray for you guys today. Let me give you a couple of scriptures real quick. I mean, I've got a bunch of stories pulled up, but I did a bunch of scripture stuff this morning. And I want you to know something that, you know, and in fact, I wrote this to a friend of mine today. And I said, you know, we're in this fight together. We need to support one another. If we don't, why are we different than the world? The Bible says they will know us because we love one another. It's a concept the world cannot understand. But sadly, it's a concept that most Christians don't get. The Bible also says they will know us by our fruit. Most Christians are fruitless. It's frustrating. We have such authority and power, but most believers refuse to use it, or have been convinced via learned helplessness and Tavistock programming that they have no ability to stand against evil or even try. But we must continue to fight the good fight, for we have victory in Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Scripture references, John 13:35. By this all men will know you are my disciples if you love one another. Matthew 7:16. By their fruit will you recognize them. 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12:2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him endured the cross. Guys, you know, we have a real Jesus, a living Jesus, a living Christ who's part of the Godhead, who basically is on our behalf standing before God the Father through the blood of the Lamb, his blood he shed on the cross, providing redemption for our sins. That's the author and perfecter of our faith. So be grateful for that, because guys, right now in the world, we got a lot of weird stuff going on. And we're being run by ancient Canaanite religions. Ancient Canaanite religions. You know, Baal worship, Moloch worship. They come under a whole host of different names. Bohemian Club. I mean, they're all Baal worshiping groups. They're all Moloch worshiping groups. It's all based on Canaanite religions, and it has been for thousands of years. In fact, right now, the Satanic Temple has evolved into an anti-Trump movement, and leftists who are finally showing their true colors are becoming Satanists and flocking to the Satanic Temple. Wow, this is unbelievable. This is the name of this article. It's from The End of the American Dream, and of course it's by Michael Schneider. And he goes, the Satanic Temple is the perfect religion for progressives. You can believe anything you want as long as you hate what Donald Trump, Christians, and basically white people, I'm adding that, believe, and conservatives believe. Unlike the Church of Satan, the Satanic Temple doesn't even believe in the supernatural entity called Satan. Instead, they celebrate Satan as the ultimate rebel, and they relish in using the symbol of Satan to greatly upset Christians. The Satanic Temple was founded in 2013, and from the beginning, it was clear they were primarily a political movement. I'm not going to compare that to other political movements. In fact, they openly tell progressive members that the only real requirement for joining is to believe in the political and secular actions of the group. It's all communism, by the way, guys. If there's a local chapter where you are to join, you have to be accepted. There's no initiation or anything. You don't even have to be a Satanist. You can just be a strong ally who believes in the political and secular actions without being super stoked about all the aesthetic aspects. Now, think about what I'm saying, guys. Traditionally, Satanists practice very privately, closed doors, black candles, black metal music, but with the satanic philosophy being where Satanism represents rebellion against arbitrary authority, they believe that it requires a level of political participation. The organization has grown rapidly after it was founded. Remember, Hillary Clinton was also involved, but she was a real true Luciferian. I mean, she talked about in her emails and other people said to her about sacrificing, you know, a chicken in the back to Baal. You know, this is Tamalek. I mean, this is nuts. So the Satanic Temples attracted thousands of new members just the first 36 hours after the election of Donald Trump. So this is who they are now. They are coming out and saying who they are. And here's the problem, guys. The Christian churches have allowed themselves to get so caught up in all of this mess and so caught up in Zionism and in the building of the third temple and not believing that Jesus Christ was the Son of the Most High God, believing that it was a mistake that he was crucified, that he didn't get the job done. All this weird stuff they're teaching now. I mean, this is all going to be used, and I mentioned this to you a few weeks ago, it's going to be used to bring us into an ecumenical movement, which started back in the 60s and 70s, of a one-world church. And guys, a lot of it's going to be based on Catholicism and teaching through the Bible from them and twisted scripture. Because, guys, it's getting really, really weird with who the popes are meeting with and what they're doing. And I know if you're a believing Catholic, like I was a believing Lutheran at one time, now I'm just a Christian, that it's difficult for you to believe this. But you've got thousands of pedophile priests who routinely sodomize little children, little boys, in these churches, in these parishes. And guys, you gotta think through who you're supporting. You know, at one time the Catholic Church, it was extremely good. I mean, I have to admit that the first 300 years, if you want to call it the Catholic Church, the Church of Peter, you know, you could basically, it was called the Way. And, you know, then it got compromised when Rome brought it in as a national religion. And it's been run now by a bunch of weirdos for a long, long time, culminating with the selling of indulgences or get a lot of hell free cards that Martin Luther finally called out. And it's just, it's messed up. So, you know, it was the most powerful religious institution for over 1,000 years. And it ran the world, pretty much the Western world. But we have to understand something, guys. We don't need to go to a priest to be forgiven for our sins. We don't need to confess to a priest. You know, we have Jesus as the author, the perfecter, the mediator of faith. He goes before the Father. So when God looks at us, he doesn't see us. Jesus is standing in the way. He only sees Christ. He sees the righteousness of God through Christ. That's what he sees. And our sins are forgiven for as far as the East is from the West. You got to understand what Christianity is, because what we've done is we've allowed the world, like I said, through learned helplessness, Tavistock training, and there's a whole bunch of other stuff you can add. You can add on there the flicker rates, the lies, the media, the propaganda, all of this stuff that basically have been put in place now to prevent us from understanding who and what we are and what Christ did for us. Guys, he changed everything. It changed everything when he did what he did, willingly. Austin, what's your first story and what do you think, bud?
No doubt about it. I mean, we've seen the level of perversion escalate rapidly over the last decade to the point now where things that usually would be completely and totally taboo are now becoming complete mainstream. I saw a video yesterday, which I'm glad to see. A lawmaker in Ohio has had enough of this. An Ohio lawmaker introduced new legislation that will ban the sexualization of children. House Bill 180, introduced by Republican State Representative Tim Schaefer, amends Ohio's child endangerment statute to include involving minors in any material or performance that suggests the minor is participating or engaging and sexual activity. Adults violating the law could face fines starting at $1,000 and 6 months in prison. He goes on to say, given our heightened focus on human trafficking and the role money plays in trafficking children, I knew I had to take action to make sure this activity does not occur again. Essentially what happened was, you guys remember in New York a couple months ago with that Desmond kid, essentially at the bar, at a strip club, male strip club, dancing on stage. Well now, apparently that was the template for what's happening, because in December of last year in Ohio, there was a 9-year-old boy who performed a drag in front of all these adults while they were actually handing him dollar bills. It was on video. It was pretty disturbing. And law enforcement was actually contacted afterwards, and they ended up doing a full investigation and found that He technically wasn't involved in anything illegal, so there's nothing that they can really do about it. But again, this is what we're starting to see on a regular basis all across the U.S., where this normalization of just full-blown sexualizing little children. It's a nine-year-old boy. I mean, this is disgusting. And what's crazy about it is, you know, they're doing it, they're trying to get everybody okay with the idea of pedophilia. That's what this all comes down to, all the way from the different laws that they've tried to enact to sit there to say, well, Mayor, I talked to you guys about in California yesterday, where they say that's, you know, that's their preference. Their preference is, you know, pedophilia. This is getting unbelievably out of control. So we have to start speaking up about it and making sure that our voices are heard. Also, too, in other news, I'm glad to see this down here in Florida, a plan to ban sanctuary cities, which will shield criminal illegal aliens from deportation, which sanctuary city, has advanced in the Florida State House after initially being pushed by Governor Ron DeSantis. On Wednesday, the Florida State House passed DeSantis' plan to ban sanctuary cities across the state. The sanctuary city ban comes with strict enforcement measures to ensure that localities and counties do not impose sanctuary policies that keep arrested and charged illegal aliens from being turned over to ICE agency. The plan also includes a fine of $5,000 that the state can impose on jurisdictions for every day they have a sanctuary policy in place. Should Florida implement a sanctuary city ban, they will be only the second state with the largest foreign-born population in the country to do so. The first state with a significant foreign-born population to ban sanctuary cities was Texas last year. Today, Florida is the fourth largest foreign-born population in the country, with more than 4.1 million illegal aliens, legal immigrants, and foreign-born citizens. California, Texas, and New York are the top three. And what's crazy about this now is what we're seeing all across the country, especially in the southern states, is that this population has exploded in the last couple of years. I have a good friend of mine who's actually Puerto Rican. He lives up in Delaware, though. He's been in the music industry and insurance and all kinds of stuff for years. And he came down here last week, and actually over the weekend he was here for a little bit, had a condo down here they stayed in for a week. And he hasn't been down to Florida in about 3-4 years now. And he stayed over there in the Celebration area, Disney Springs area, Kissimmee area. And we went over there, me and Lynn went over there and visited him. And remember, this guy's Puerto Rican. And he goes, when I first, as soon as I got there, he goes, what the heck is up with the Puerto Ricans around here? I said, what do you mean? He goes, this is insane. He goes, I've been down here like 4 years. And he goes, this place was really nice and really chill. And he goes, the traffic's completely stopped. Everybody speaks Spanish. Nobody is polite at all. He goes, everywhere you go, it's like all Puerto Ricans. He goes, we tried to go to Walmart last night. He goes, it was a borderline war zone. He goes, we ended up dumping our cart and leaving and driving 20 minutes south and going to Publix. And I said, yeah, dude. I said, you can thank Obama and you can thank Donald Trump and you can thank the massive immigration policy. They've literally pushed hundreds of thousands of Puerto Ricans out of Puerto Rico after that storm into Florida. I said, they've completely and totally ruined the state. And not just because they're Puerto Ricans. I'm not saying you're Puerto Rican, you're ruining the state. When you have an infrastructure that's based on X amount of people in the population, and all of a sudden you add in 300, 400, 500,000 people in a very small area in a state that's a peninsula. It's one side away from being an island. There's only one exit to leave the state. And you go in and the infrastructure is designed for X amount of people, the schools, the hospitals, the stores. Everything's designed for X amount of people. And you drop hundreds of thousands of people in all of a sudden. And by the way, if anybody remembers, when they did that policy, those Puerto Ricans that were transported from Puerto Rico to Florida, they got 2 years of federal aid, meaning they got EBTs, they got housing, they got cell phones, they got all this stuff for free. So they didn't even have to join the workforce. They just came in here for free and basically have been living off Florida in this government for the last 2 years now, for the last year, year and a half. And all they have done is increase the population load, increase the traffic, increase everything, and nothing's being done to change it. It's literally making Florida borderline into California in the very near future. Article I saw from Breitbart here. This is quite troubling now. Homeland Security releases 7,000 illegal aliens into the U.S. in the last 5 years. days alone. They said President Trump's Department of Homeland Security has released 7,000 illegal aliens into the interior of the United States in the last 5 days. The latest catch and release totals obtained by DHS, they're saying releasing around 1,400 illegal aliens in the interior of the United States every day. Between April 18th and April 22nd, they released 7,000 into the country. If you guys know, the catch and release process entails federal immigration officials busing border crossers into nearby border cities, dropping them off with the promise that they will show up for their immigration and asylum hearings, sometimes years later. The overwhelming majority of these illegal aliens are never deported, nor do they ever go to their asylum or immigration hearing once they are released. Today, there's somewhere an estimate of around 22 million illegal aliens living across the country, mainly concentrated in California, New York, Florida, Texas, and Illinois. I personally believe that number is much, much, much higher because it's very difficult to actually obtain a real number on that, especially when people don't have fingerprints on file, don't have social securities, any of that. They said over the last 5 days, get this, over the last 5 days, El Paso, little El Paso, Texas, has had to absorb 2,800 illegal aliens released in the country out of those 7,000 in the last 5 days. 2,800 illegal aliens dumped in El Paso in a 5-day period. The expanded use of catch and release has forced communities like Yuma, Arizona to declare a local state of emergency as the city and county is unable to deal with the soaring levels of illegal immigration. I have no idea why this has not been stopped by Trump. Oh, wait, yeah, I do, because he has no intent on stopping illegal immigration, just like the wall. Here's the thing. You can build the biggest wall you want. You can build a 50-foot tall wall if you want. If DHS just continues to pick them up when they cross the water, cross the border, or still find their way in illegally, and then we bust them into El Paso and say, hey, by the way, you got an asylum hearing in like 3 years. You need to make sure you come back to that. So make sure you come down to the county house in 3 years. And we're going to make sure. And but other than that, here's some money. Go freely on your way. Do whatever you want to do. That is the most inept, idiotic ideology I've ever heard as far as having a policy for immigration. It shows you that the policy is not designed to prevent immigration. It's designed to increase it. Because when you have an illegal immigrant that jumps the border, they know if they get caught, they get put in a bus, driven to the nearest city, said, hey, you need to come for your immigration asylum hearing in a couple of years. Make sure you show up. They go, okay, I'll be there. You can count on that. Not. This is what we're seeing now. It's a directed agenda to push as many people into this country from third world countries as quickly as they physically can. I was reading an article the other day. They were discussing how a lot of times they're saying how so many people are coming in from Mexico, but there was another article now that the Mexican government is reporting that 300,000 migrants from around the globe have traveled through Mexico just in the first 3 months of 2019. They said mainly out of Honduras, Central America, Cuba, Africa, and Southern Asia. Wait a minute. In Africa, don't we have this massive Ebola hemorrhagic fever experience that Merck has been testing on individuals over there right now? Oh, that's right. Oh, they have this new vaccine that's supposed to work wonders over there. Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah. So that's what we see coming into the border while Trump has done absolutely nothing to stop illegal immigration, as sad as that is, Deb.
You know, Austin, the hurricane was parked over Puerto Rico on purpose. It stalled. It sat there, destroyed the infrastructure, yep, as far as the power grid.
Yep.
The Puerto Ricans had defaulted on $50 billion in loans, probably much higher than that. And remember, Puerto Ricans are also American citizens. And so when you give them all free money, you tell them to come to Florida, they all show up. And so they emptied out the island. They took several million of the population and dumped them into the United States. And your friend from up north, I mean, he's absolutely right. I mean, the last 4 or 5 years has seen unprecedented growth in Central Florida, primarily because of all the people that are coming in illegally. And, of course, also the Puerto Ricans who did not come in illegally. I need to say that twice. They are American citizens. And so they should be the 51st state. But, you know, what people need to understand is the Canaanite religions that run the world, you've got to understand their mindset and how evil they are. I mean, everything's about mass sacrifice and rituals and Bohemian Grove rituals. I mean, 9/11 was a mass sacrifice human ritual. I mean, that's what it was. I mean, we have to understand Dresden, you know, Winston Churchill was a Druid. The bombing of Dresden in January, February 1945. I mean, it was a druidic sacrifice to kill up to 500,000 people, some of the estimates say, of women, children, and old men. And then if that wasn't enough, after they burned the city with concussion bombs and incendiaries, and the people ran out who weren't killed, they strafed them with 50 caliber machine gun fire from P-51 Mustangs coming out of England. I mean, it was unbelievable what they did. What we did, what we as a country did, the war crimes that we did under Eisenhower, you know, in World War II, they were unbelievable. And then letting 2 million German soldiers literally starve to death after the war, keeping them locked up and behind barbed wire, not allowing them to be fed and watching them die slowly. And the 10 to 15 million Germans who basically died after the war up to 1952, 53, who were starved to death. I mean, this whole thing was a giant control destruction of a DNA pool that stood against the Rothschild, Druid, Canaanite religion, banking cartel. I've gotten so much feedback from the show yesterday also when I said that the same people who killed Jesus Christ, this synagogue of Satan, is the same group that's doing and taking down what we have, our country, and took down Building 7. They run the United States of America. Donald Trump's not in charge. I got a newsflash. Donald Trump is a compromised individual. He likes to screw porn stars. Excuse my vernacular. Okay? He likes to commit adultery on his wife. I mean, this is who he is. Oh, he's a Christian. He's born. No, he's not a born-again Christian. No, he's not. He may tell you that he is, like George Bush told you that he was, but he's not. I mean, he's allowing persecution to take place, Christians all over the country, all over the world, doing nothing about it. I mean, he did get a few people out of Turkey to do that. But the thing about it is, I mean, it's all smoke and mirrors because the greater group is out there. I mean, think about this. Notre Dame Cathedral is basically that means Our Lady, and it refers to Mary. And, of course, Mary is the Catholic name, you know, and the Bible's talk, you know, for the mother of Jesus. Now, this superstitious religion of the Canaanites, they believe that when they're basically burning Notre Dame, they were going to try to unify via that sacrifice the European world, you know, and basically and create sentiment. Just like happened with 9/11 with George Bush when everybody rallied against that, create sentiment and support for Macron, the guy who said he's going to rule France like a Greek god. Instead of that, according to multiple sources in the French resistance movement, the burning of the cathedral is being blamed on Macron. They're blaming him on this. I'll be over there in a few weeks. I'm going to be reporting live from France. I'm going to tell you what's going on. I'm going there personally to deal with all this stuff. I'm going to have to be careful where I go in Paris, though, because of the doggone, there's so much crime over there. These desecration of these churches and the Notre Dame arson, you know, think about it. I mean, this could be a precipitating factor that really wakes up the people over there in Europe as to what these guys are actually involved with and what they're planning on doing. But think through this for a second. Think through all the persecution of the Christians in Syria and in Sri Lanka and everywhere where they're being massacred. And the United States does nothing about it. Nothing about it. I mean, think about what's going on and how Donald Trump is all show and no go. Donald Trump is being told what to do. Even Bill Clinton said when he was president, he goes, I learned after I became president that I don't make the decisions. They come from higher up. That's what he said. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he said. And you know, what's interesting, people don't understand that it's one of those things that this government is completely co-opted. It's being run by the Sabbatean Kabbalah Synagogue of Satan Luciferian since the 1934 takeover with the Exchange Stability Fund of the Treasury. That's who runs the country. I mean, now Trump has a new proposal, Austin. He's raising the military spending for next year to $1.2 trillion. It doesn't stop because this military-industrial complex is just so lucrative to these guys, and they're continuing the best they possibly can to rape the United States from its last resources. I mean, remember, guys, student loans are in the trillions of dollars now. People are defaulting left and right. People are broke. People can't buy cars. People can't do this. But yet the economy is supposed to be doing so well. This is what they tell us. The more they tell us how great it is, the more people think it's great, the more people spend money. But the truth of all of this is that the United States is bankrupt. It's fiscally bankrupt. It can't pay its bills. It can't pay the over $100 trillion in unfunded liabilities and debt. It can't pay it. It's impossible. There's not enough money out there. Nobody makes enough money to pay all of this stuff. And we're going to have to figure out what to do. I mean, the only reason we're held together right now is basically through thread, through the doggone petrodollar, which, by the way, they did to hold it together for another 50, 60 years, which it's done. And because of the exchange stability fund and also the never ending naked shorts of gold and silver to show everybody, to try to tell everybody that there's no inflation. The inflation right now is absolutely horrible. By the way, also down here in Florida, there was a smackdown. Florida Supreme Court ruled that our governor was within his rights to suspend the loser sheriff Israel from Broward County. So, I mean, of course, the loser sheriff decides he's going to take it to the Supreme Court, and now the Supreme Court says basically he was within his rights to get rid of that lowlife, who probably will once again run for sheriff down there, and he will probably once again be reelected. And hopefully he'll be once again taken back out. But remember, our governor, DeSantis, is now having a full board meeting of the people in Tallahassee, his cabinet, in Israel. Yeah, I didn't even want to tell you guys that. That's just how that works. I mean, he's going to take them all over there for a big board meeting in Israel. I mean, why is the government of the state of Florida having a cabinet meeting in Israel? It doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me. But it's just these guys, this is what they do, and this is what they're planning on doing, and there's really nothing that we can say anything about this. You know, it's absolutely nuts. Oh, by the way, in Mexico, to tie on to what Austin just said, 300,000 migrants traveled through that country in 2019, including from Africa and Asia. So we're not just getting migrants out of that South. You know, we're not just getting people out through that are basically Catholics. We're not getting that. We're getting all kinds of agnostics, atheists, and Muslims coming in through the southern border. I mean, with the majority of the migrants, the Mexican government says, from Honduras and other countries in Central America, individuals from Cuba, Africa, and Southern Asia have also been identified in migrant caravans. I mean, this is not stopping. And let me ask you guys another question here. How many of these people really have the best interests of the United States at heart? How many of these people really want to have the United States, you know, as the world power? How many of these people have really been trained as far as subversives through Cloward and Piven or through their communist agitators controlled by the Rothschild, Sabbatean, Kabbalist, Luciferian, Synagogue of Satan? How many of these guys are coming into this country to start upheavals or to take over local state governments, to take over county governments, to run for office and do all the things? So look at that blithering idiot, Cortez, up in New York. You know, goes, if they run an ad in the paper or whatever or online for people to apply for this position as congresswoman, and she wins out of 10,000. I mean, how many of those weirdos are out there? I mean, ignorant people, just stupid, just says stuff that's ridiculous. Now they want to tear down all the glass and concrete and steel skyscrapers in New York City and rebuild them. I mean, with what money? These people make stuff up like it's like they're insane. The problem is the population is so dumbed down because of fluoride, because of vaccines, because of all the poison in the food supply, that a lot of these guys actually believe this nonsense. They actually believe this nonsense. Austin, what do you think?
Yeah, and another thing with that idiot Cortez I found interesting the other day, I was reading an article on her, and they said, you know, it's funny how whatever she wants to push her agenda, she's this giant big-mouth donkey running around all the time. After the attacks in New Zealand, that mosque attack with the alleged white supremacist, she tweeted 14 times about those mosque attacks, basically how the Muslims are being persecuted and how this white supremacist Trump supporter who was a horrible person and killed all these people, which I'm not disagreeing with that. I mean, you can't go around executing people. But, I mean, just on and on, tweet after tweet after tweet about the Muslim community and xenophobia and persecution and how we got to be nice and we got to extinguish the white race, essentially, is what she implied. Guess how many tweets she's put out about the Catholic Church attacks last week and the Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday? Zero. Not a single tweet about any event that happened at any place in time over the weekend with those Resurrection Weekend attacks on the Christians that literally killed hundreds of people and injured, I think, another 450 people severely. Much, much, much more deadlier, much more aggressive, much more violent attack than what happened in New Zealand. Yet she has not made one single comment. So that goes to show you how these individuals only push the narrative that they're told to push and nothing else. Speaking of narratives and what we continue to see on the platforms of social media, this is quite interesting. I saw this yesterday, did a little bit more research in it today, and it was very interesting. Jennifer Newsted, who was a Trump appointee who served in the Justice Department under President Bush, is now going to be taking as general counsel of Facebook, the company announced this week. This will be Facebook's new chief lawyer. And ironically enough, she was a significant person in writing the Patriot Act. Sheryl Sandberg said in a statement with her release, Jennifer is a seasoned leader whose global perspective and experience will help us fulfill our mission. Many, though, are very troubled about Newsted's history, lobbying, and legislation for a very much more powerful electronic surveillance state. The Hill pointed out a 2002 Justice Department press release described her as one of the helping crafts of the legislation of the Patriot Act. Bush administrative lawyer John Woo described her, and I quote, the day-to-day manager of the Patriot Act in Congress in his book that he wrote. Passed in the wake of the 9/11 attacks, you guys know the Patriot Act greatly expanded the scope of the government's surveillance power. Section 215 of the Patriot Act was used to justify bulk collection of telephone records from U.S. carriers, although both the ruling and legal interpretation that justified it remained completely secret until the Snowden leaks. We also know that Title II of the Patriot Act amended FISA and greatly expanded the scope of the surveillance under law. They also know that any district judge in the United States could issue surveillance orders and warrants for any investigation they deem terrorism. The FBI gained access to stored voicemails. The definition of wiretapping expanded to include communication over the internet and other electronic packet switching networks. Sneak and peek warrants, which is a huge topic that a lot of people didn't even know existed till Snowden. Sneak and peek warrants came into existence with the passing of the Patriot Act, which allowed law enforcement to break in and enter into a premises without the owner's consent, stealthily search the premises, and then law enforcement could notify the receiver of a warrant that they needed after the fact. That was a big one I remember reading about that boggled my mind, completely and totally sidestepping the Fourth Amendment. Also, too, the roving wiretaps were implemented, removing the need for a new surveillance order if a suspect threw their phone away or moved to a new address. It also expanded the scope of investigation that anyone who comes into casual contact with a suspected terrorist can also be wiretapped. Those are just a few of the things that came along with the Patriot Act. And so this girl, Jennifer Newsted, is now going to be the chief lawyer of Facebook. Well, when you start going and digging a little deeper now, you start finding out this is even more troubling, because now we're starting to see, since the end of 2017, all the tech giants have gotten together and have been discussing what is called centralized censorship to coordinate the universal blocking of videos and news reports that question official narratives, essentially is what it is. In 2017, Facebook, Microsoft, Twitter, and YouTube launched what they called the Global Internet Forum to Counter Terrorism. Oh, sounds great, right? Oh, yeah. It's in a bid to keep the global internet safe from terrorist propaganda, and the tech giants devised a database system that identifies extreme and egregious content to have it removed in real time. What they originally used it for is they would, so for the last year and a half, essentially, a video of an event, they would hash it. And so anything that was detected was automatically removed from Facebook and Instagram once the video was hashed. Anything that was similar or came up under the same thing was essentially wiped out. Well, that's not good enough anymore. Just so happens that this Jennifer lady is taking over the chief lawyer position of Facebook. Now, even more eye-opening, the president of Microsoft, Brad Smith, has now come out now and said he wants to expand the GIFCT, which the act I was just talking about, into a joint virtual command center to allow all tech companies the ability to coordinate during major events so they can decide what content is in the public's best interest. Microsoft desires industry-wide action on the issue so the internet users can only see and hear official information. This article came out last week from Wired.com, and the title of it was "The Platforms Want Centralized Censorship, and That Should Scare You." Listen to this. The tech giants are threatening to go beyond just content hashes. They are experimenting with sharing URLs systematically rather than just content hashes. What that means is it would create a centralized blacklist of URLs so that videos, accounts, forums, and entire websites can be blocked. These efforts may also include browser-based filters on every computer that are automatically turned on to block users from accessing or downloading forbidden content. the tech giants are selling this coordinated centralized censorship plan in the name of safety as they promise to protect internet users from terrorist propaganda. The tech giants want to moderate content during and after any high profile incident. This is an attack on independent journalism and it's a coordinated manipulation over future events. So in essence, in a nutshell, what they're trying to do is here, they're trying to have a basis where they can block, completely censor any URLs, any videos, any accounts, any websites, anything they want, all at the flip of a switch as soon as something happens that they don't deem goes along with the mainstream narrative. This is the internet kill switch that Obama talked about 10 years ago. This is it in a nutshell, much more fine, much more aggressive, and much more surgical. They can now go in, if they implement this at any point in time, Hagman, Hodges, Health Master Show, any of us, we start talking about a narrative, some type of attack, some type of event, we all start talking about it, bam, the URLs get blacklisted, broadcasting anything that's involving those topics, and they get shut down. Bam, 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 bam. Everything gets taken down and blocked. Not just deplatformed, not just demonetized, full-blown blacklisted. This is what Communist China has already done and implemented, and it seems to me that the giant tech system, this giant tech industrial complex that we have now is ready to put it in place. And like I said, the fact that Jennifer Newsted, one of the chief lawyers that helped write the Patriot Act, is now the head lawyer of Facebook does not give me any type of warm fuzzy feelings considering the fact this is what they're now putting out there with the president of Microsoft, Brad Smith, and all these other platforms, Dad.
Awesome. This is Trump doing nothing. He can't do anything. I mean, he's not in charge. He's blackmailed. Okay, they got videos of him doing who knows what with who knows who. I mean, who knows? You say, oh, they wouldn't release videos like that. They wouldn't put stuff like that out. They would intentionally throw videos out. Remember the Kraft, the guy who, you know, owns the New England Patriots, who decided to go to a day spa and basically, hang on one second here, guys. Something just happened with my computer. I have no idea what that was all about. But Kraft, who went to the day spa. Austin, you still with me?
Yeah, I'm still here, bud.
Okay. Kraft, he went to the day spa. You said, well, they wouldn't release this information. Well, Kraft decided. They told Kraft. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, I don't endorse what he did as far as going to these whores. I don't endorse any of that stuff. But what he did is something. There was no victim in that crime. I got to say that. And the craziest part about all of it, Austin, is when you stop and you look at what happened, he was told that if he pleaded, like basically no contest to guilty, that he'd be convicted if he went to court, and they'd drop the case and not have him go to court. He said, forget it, I'm not going to do it. And basically his response would have been, I would think, with his attorneys, and this is not, I'm not quoting him, this is my presumption and I'm just assuming this, he'd say something like, I've got billions of dollars. They're not going to make me plead guilty to something that I don't think there was a crime, and they're not going to try to put this on me. So I'm just going to just tie it up in court for the next 10 years and make them spend millions of, not tens of millions of dollars in prosecuting me for basically a prostitution charge. And so there we go. And by the time it gets done, I'm so old, I'll be dead. It won't make any difference, but I'm going to not play into playing their game. So the judge got so mad that he did this. The judge has said that the Kraft day spa video will be released of the woman having sex or him having sex or whatever with this woman when the case is resolved. Are you listening to me, guys? The judge ruled Tuesday that the videos of Robert Kraft at Orchids of Asia Day Spa will be released after he is afforded a fair trial. Oh, they wouldn't release this stuff if they got Donald Trump on it. The heck they want? They're showing you right here they do it. He said that regardless of the case, no matter what happens here, the videos are going to be released after he receives a fair trial. What you talk about, now they're telling Kraft, oh, by the way, sure, we'll do what you want, but we're going to release the video. You're going to fight this. We're going to show you what we're going to do. We're going to let you know that even if you win this or we quit this or whatever and the trial's over with, we're going to show you at this day spa and what you did just to humiliate you and to embarrass you and to destroy you. So don't tell me they won't do this. Here it is. I'm reading it to you, and they'll do it to Trump. They'll do it to anybody. Now, they may not release it through the media like this with Trump or somebody else, but they'll drop a lot. They'll drop it on the a video online, and all of a sudden it'll be pushed into the Google search engines at the very top, Yahoo search engines at the very top, all the search engines at the very top. And as soon as you click on Trump, World News, or whatever, it's going to pop up. And don't tell me they can't do that, because they have that technology. They can push anything they want to the top. That's how they control the narrative. And suddenly here we have Trump doing who knows what with who knows who. And you're like, oh my God, look what he's doing. And that's the end of Trump. That's the end of his name. That's the end of his family's name. That's the end of his mega business enterprise, if there is indeed such a thing. That's the end of his children's enterprises, because he decided he wasn't going to play the game. Another perfect example. Here, another one. Breitbart. Donald Trump endorses congressional action against discriminatory Twitters. Now, you hear what I said? Trump is telling the Democrats now to basically do something, because remember, they control Congress against what's going on, because Twitter has been discriminatory against conservatives and Republicans, and he's endorsing congressional action to fight it. He can't even get the Congress to give him a wall, give him money appropriation for the wall. He couldn't even get his Republican-controlled Congress to do that. Boy, he's not in charge. And again, this is kicking the ball down the road with Trump, because he has no intentions on stopping the discriminatory. He can't, because he doesn't control that. Now, he can sign an executive order to that, get locked up in court, and start doing it. But he won't. He hasn't signed an executive order to this. Why is he? He just needs to have an executive order done. He goes, it's very discriminatory, hard for people to sign on, Trump said. Constantly taking people off the list, big complaints from many people. So he asked the Democrats, who absolutely hate him, who the vast majority of them at this point want to impeach him, to go help him to stop discrimination against Republicans and conservatives. Yeah, that's just going to be interesting. By the way, let's look at Harry Potter for 1 second. This is an article, and it says, Harry Potter undermines faith in God, sympathizing with the occult, and the denial of the Christian faith. Now, as the popularity of Harry Potter continues to grow, Christian parents are left with some difficult questions. Some believe that the magical world of Harry Potter is a little bit more than harmless fun and fantasy. Others fear that these books and movies are an invitation to the occult. I have to agree with the latter. I personally believe it's an invitation to the occult. We have never allowed our children to read Harry Potter. They need to understand that when you invoke this magic, which is a derivative of the ancient Canaanite religions, it's kind of like alcohol is a stepping stone to use stronger drugs. Harry Potter is a stepping stone to get into the occult and witchcraft. Guys, I'm just telling you. So keep your kids away from this. Again, the publishers are controlled by the Sabbatean Kabbalists. Oh, that's right. That's the synagogue of Satan. Those are the same guys who killed Christ, and also the same guys who took down Building 7. But you got to give 2,000 years of history and a bunch of other people involved in all that. Same group. This is the same group that's pushing Harry Potter. It's always the same group. Doggone it, forgive me for yelling. It's always the same people. It's always these same guys. Because the world is controlled by these guys. Oh, okay, I'll stop for a second. By the way, why would ISIS praise Representatives Omar, Tlaib, and the blithering idiot Cortez? I mean, think about this for a second. They're being promoted by ISIS. I mean, why would that happen? Why would this happen? Why would basically these people who promote jihad promote these people? Oh, that's right, because they're all being controlled by the same people. The narrative is being controlled by the top from both sides. One more thing I want to share with you about the economy I talked about earlier. Right now, 102 million Americans do not have a job. This is worse than any point during the last recession. Now, why is that happening? Okay, why do they say the unemployment rate is such a low level? Because they changed the way it's calculated now. If a person drops off the unemployment rolls and they can't get a job, they're basically no longer counted as being unemployed. In addition to that, we've got tens of millions of people, I mean, probably close to 30 or 40 million people, that can't pass a drug test. It's that bad. Heroin is that bad. Opiates are that bad. And now what are they doing? Instead of trying to correct all these things with the drugs, they want to legalize pot for recreational use around the country. On top of everything else, we've got alcohol, now we're going to have pot legalized, and that's so the pharmaceutical petrochemical industry can continue to reap profits from the sale of marijuana throughout the country. In addition to that, we will further enslave the hearts, the minds, the very souls of these individuals that are addicted to drugs by pushing them into a gateway drug such as marijuana being used for recreational purposes. Now, I'm not saying for medical reasons. It has very good medicinal properties from a medical standpoint. But when people start using these drugs, it basically takes away their ambition and their drive. Oh, by the way, isn't that what they want to do? Isn't that what they want to do to the people in the United States? Don't they want to make us basically incapable of concrete rational thought because we've all become victims? 102 million people right now do not have a job in the United States. The article goes on, Schneider goes on to say, wouldn't it be horrible if the number of Americans without a job was higher today than it was during the Great Depression, the Great Recession of 2008-2009? That's actually true. As you see in this article, we have 102 million Americans that don't have a job right now. And at no point during the last recession did that number ever surpass 100 million. But why is this happening? Read the article to find out. The truth of the matter is, guys, that these people that are running the country, that are giving you all of these great government statistics with the growth and all the other things that we're having, they're fudging the numbers. They're fudging the factors. So many people are unemployed. So many people are destitute right now. And so many people can't get jobs because they can't pass drug tests. And that's exactly what the synagogue of Satan wanted. What do you think, Oz? Austin, are you with me, or have I lost Austin? Apparently we have lost Austin, or I'm not on the air, or Austin.
I'm here, bud. Sorry, the thing was on mute.
Okay, there you go. Go ahead, buddy. Get started. Thanks. What do you think?
No, you're absolutely right about that. And the thing that they've done so well now is, see, I mean, a lot of people go, oh, well, they don't want people to use these drugs because, you know, they're worried about their health. You know, it's for the betterment of society, too. If you think they don't want individuals to use drugs because they want people to stay healthy, dude, I got 50 acres of swampland out in Polk City I'll sell you real, real cheap that I'll tell you you can build a giant house on, and Swift Mud will tell you never going to happen once you buy it. That's how idiotic some people are when they come up with this ideology. They want you to do as many drugs as physically possible. They want you to do as many pharmaceutical drugs as physically possible. They want you to stay in the medical industrial complex as soon as possible, as much as possible. The only difference is they still want to be able to make money on the front end. That is why they'll go and they'll arrest somebody for cocaine possession. Now, I'm not advocating being in possession of cocaine or doing cocaine. It's not a healthy compound to do. It has no health benefits whatsoever. But my point in saying that is they'll go arrest somebody for felony possession of cocaine, put them in prison for 10 years for simply being in possession of a powder that came out of Colombia, yet then if an 18-year-old or 15-year-old or 12-year-old says, I can't focus really well, they say, oh, that's fine. Here's 30 milligrams of 4-amphetamine salt Adderall extended release. You can have as many as you want whenever you want it. Just come back in for a prescription. You go, okay. And the ironic part about it is when you look at the composition, amphetamine, the 4-amphetamine salts made up in Adderall, in most cases are stronger than most street cocaine. Oh, they don't bother to tell you that, do they? But it doesn't matter because they make money on it. If they can't make money on the cocaine, you go to jail. If they can get you to go on Adderall, they make more money. They don't care which way it goes. Either way, they're going to make money some way, shape, or form. Because if they arrest you, you go into the gigantic prison industrial complex. They sell a bond on you, and you have servitude for the next 10 years of your life while you do community service for, I think, what is it, 15 cents an hour. Prison slave labor. This entire facade that we have seen now is a lie. They've told us it's for our protection. They've told us it's for our health. They've told us it's for the betterment of society. But at the same time, is they don't care. It's the same thing with pot. In my opinion, pot's a plant. If you want to grow plants in your backyard and it's a green plant, it's like growing an oak tree or growing an avocado tree. The fact that the federal government has the ability to come in and say, if you grow this plant, you're going to prison for cultivation of cannabis or even hemp, much too long ago, if you guys remember, till we finally got that hemp bill passed. You could actually grow hemp in your yard with 50 different permits. Oh, that's right. You can't do it unless you get permitted, pay fees, get registered, get licensed, and pay all the taxes and fees and fines that they want to charge you so you can have a plant grow in your yard. It has nothing to do with them not wanting people to be on cannabis and being docile and not being functional and not doing what they need to do. It doesn't matter if kids go on pot and it hampers their brain development as they get older. They don't care about that. They want their money as much as they can physically extract out of the entire population. I just saw Elizabeth Warren now. She came out with her brilliant ideology. She wants to pay for half of the student loan debt in the United States, like $700, $800 billion of student debt. She wants to pay it off by taxing individuals that don't have student debt that make more money. I kid you not. She said that the whole program and all is going to cost around $1.2 trillion to pay for different college scholarships, to pay off student loan, to do all this stuff. So it essentially now is the American population's problem, who doesn't have any debt, who makes halfway decent income, to now pay off the other people's student debt that they have now acquired. Now, I am not in any way, one shape or form, advocating student loans. I don't think you need to get them unless it's an absolute emergency and you need to get them to finish a degree and you get the least amount possible to get them from like a state college or community college to get your degree. There's no reason to come out of college with $120,000 of student debt. But turning our country into a socialist nightmare by saying it's your responsibility because you've worked for the last 15 years in your company and you've developed this and you make a little bit of money now, it's your responsibility so we can tax you to pay off other people's student debt, when at the same time they should have never even prevented student loans from not being able to be bankrupted in the first place. That entire concept was done intentionally to make an indentured servitude of a large portion of the population. Nobody wants to address that either. Why is it that student loans are one of the only debts that you can hold that you can't bankrupt? Because they want to keep the population indebted as much as possible. Unjust taxes, the ability to have taxes without representation. That is what we now have here because our Congress, in most cases, does not represent us. We already saw they sold us down the river with Obamacare. They went and mandated that the general population that didn't get insurance was fined incessantly, and it went up every single year. And at the same time, they voted and mandated that they didn't have to have Obamacare insurance, nor could they be held as far as by the same fines that the population they were delegating these laws to. So Congress is not taxing us with representation. We are having the exact same thing that we had in England before. We're being taxed unjustly, unfairly, and without any voice, with us being able to be heard whatsoever. And so it is a point in time now where everybody has to start coming together and saying, what are we allowing to happen? And is it okay? How much further are we going to allow this to go down the rabbit hole? How much further are we going to say, well, we'll just see what happens next year. Maybe Q will save us all. I don't know. Maybe he'll save us. He'll just go slide through the unicorn and save everybody with Q. I mean, that seems to be what the general consensus is now with everybody I talk to half the time. Oh, he's going to save us. We have to start making changes locally in the communities and getting it changes made now, because this is not something that's going to get any better. The longer we sit here idly by and allow ourselves to be taxed unjustly, have laws put upon us that are not constitutional, and at the same time have our firearm rights stripped away from us bit by bit by bit. They know what happens when we have no firearms, and they know what happens when we don't have the ability to defend ourselves from an invasion, domestic or foreign. They know what happens. They will be able to tax us to death, and I mean that literally. So we have to reach a point now where we are willing to take a stand and say, no more, Dad.
Well, you know, you saw it with the farms and from the estates and from the servants and from the farmers in England who worked for the landowners. You know, hundreds of years ago, I mean, they would just take everything. They would give them barely enough just to produce enough food to live on. They just take everything. Just take it all, take it all, take it all. And that's what they want. They want everybody to live in poverty, because when you have an upwardly mobile society who's well-educated, they don't like to be told what to do, and they don't like to be put under the boot of tyranny.
Yep.
That's what happens. And so they don't want that. And let me give you another example. A Durham woman is arrested in front of her daughter on a Frontier Airlines flight after she complained about vomit in the seat. A lady got put on the jail, you know, basically was facing charges after a confrontation with the Frontier Airlines flight. This is all because of the Patriot Act, by the way, that landed her in jail. Frontier Airlines is standing by the flight attendant involved, but Rosetta Sweeney has a different story about what happened. She goes, what really hurt me is for my child to see me getting handcuffed and taken away Sweeney said. 12 hours I was in jail. 12 hours because I complained about vomit being on the seat and if they could move me to another seat. And the stewardess told her that basically it's not her responsibility. The seats were still wet with vomit and smelled of vomit. And it got all over her daughter's clothes. And she says, it's just awful. Can you put us in another seat? And of course, the flight attendant basically told her that they'd be taken care of after the flight, I guess, took off. They could change the seat and they would be cleaned. But it wasn't their responsibility. But apparently the woman basically didn't want to have to deal with all of this, and so they had her arrested and dragged off the flight. I mean, and the child, of course, was put in child protective custody, where I'm sure she was made sure she was checked to make sure she had all of her vaccines. I'm just saying that. After getting out of jail, Sweeney said she had to buy a $1,000 flight home through Delta. But, of course, Frontier refunded the cost of original flight home, which is probably, you know, Frontier probably $179, $150, $59. Yeah. We gave her $59 back. But she said that's not good enough, and she's hired a civil rights attorney to fight her misdemeanor trespassing charge. Whoa, she's doing a courtroom in Las Vegas in June. Think about this for a second. You're going to sit in the vomit swine whether you want to or not, girl. I don't care. If you don't, I'll have you arrested and put on trespass charge. What the heck? Why should anybody be forced to sit and vomit? I mean, what the heck? What has happened? I mean, why don't we have a Bill of Rights any longer with the airlines? I mean, after 9/11, we lost all of that stuff. I mean, they can make you do whatever they want to do and make you force you to do it if they want. You just choose not to do business with them. I hope this hurts Frontier. I hope they lose millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of revenue. I hope it bankrupts Frontier for them. Somebody else takes their place. This is horrible employee training. And quite frankly, Frontier should be ashamed. They should settle with this lady immediately. Provide her financial, you know, restitution for being locked up and put away and from the embarrassment of the whole thing. You think, well, wow, Ted. I mean, yeah, I mean, guys, who, any of you want to sit and vomit or puke? I mean, does anybody really want to do that? I mean, it's absolutely horrible. Gosh, that's awful. But, you know, think about, again, our rights being stripped away gradually and more efficiently as far as the Patriot Act is concerned. And that's what happened. I remember years ago, we were coming back from Europe and we got into a confrontation in an airport. Of course, I'm out of time. I can't tell you guys that story. I love you guys. I appreciate you. Also, go ahead and close it up. I prayed for you today. Love you. Appreciate you. Talk to you. Don Hagman tonight.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you so much for your support. If you need anything, healthmasters.com. I'm trying to get my schedule together, see if I can get on the Hagman Show tonight as well, at least in a 30-minute run. I got some more stuff here that I wanted to talk about today, but we ran out of time. So thank you so much for everything you guys do and continue to do. Healthmasters.com, magnesium brain food, on sale till the end of the weekend. And you guys need anything, let us know. Healthmasters.com. We appreciate you guys. Stay strong. Spread the word. Continue to wake people up the best you can. You guys have an awesome night. Have a blessed, safe weekend. We'll talk to you again next week.